Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thanks for downloading and listening and hanging out with us for a little bit. Appreciate that. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing swell.
Kareem, how are you, my friend?
I'm tired.
It's true.
I'm tired.
We'll get into all that in just a moment. I want to remind everybody to do their Target shopping through our Shop Target tab at the top of NateDarlingShow.com. Help support the show. It does not cost you anything extra. And even if you don't want stuff shipped to you, you want to pick it up at Target because you like going in. Do your shopping online. Go in and just pick it up.
Just do it.
Be ready for you.
That's it.
How great would that be? You don't have to deal with that. You don't have to do I want to stand in line in one of these two registers that are open, or do I want to do the self-checkout?
If only my life were that easy.
Your life is that easy, Jason.
Really?
Yep. That's all you got to do. It's
wow.
Shop Target tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Also, we've also got the Amazon tab still there, too, so feel free to use that if Amazon is your jam.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon.
How much better is it? Because I get like 5% back with my Amazon credit card.
Okay.
When I buy stuff on Amazon with that credit card.
Right.
So it's like double win-win when I buy something through the shop through Amazon for the podcast. So anyhow, I guess what I'm just saying is, I wish I could get that with Target.
You can get a Target Red Card.
Oh!
Go ahead and do that. Hit our link and get yourself a Red Card. That'll help the show, too.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great if the show got like 1% of everything you spend with your Red Card, too? That'd be fantastic.
It would be amazing.
It would be. Be able to handle this whole thing and be like, oh, hey, I don't have to actually go look for a job.
Mm-mm.
Or do anything like that. I just do the podcast. Hey, everybody, I'm getting that sweet, sweet Target money.
Figure out. Do it with gold. I think that's the way the guys make money.
scaring old people into buying gold.
Yeah, just change our demographic. We'll start leaving jitterbug phones preloaded with the podcast around retirement homes.
The funny thing is, my dad has, and it's Great Call now. It's not Jitterbug anymore. It's Great Call.
Oh, it's Great Call.
Great Call.
Oh, for the Greatest Generation.
They do have, in fact, a smartphone.
Really?
I don't know what the apps you can put on it are, but they do have a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
They recently called my dad and said, hey, we're going to send you a new phone for free. And I'm like, really? They're sending you a phone for free? And he goes, yeah, apparently they don't want to deal with the old one anymore. Because he got a Jitterbug phone, like, God, I want to say 10 years ago now,
mm-hmm.
and he had the same phone for 10 years.
Oh, man, those were Nokia strong.
Because he never used it for very much of anything.
Yeah.
And, of course, all it did was call.
Yeah.
I got a call, and it was a bunch of beeps. Were you sending me one of them text messages again?
It did text, but with the T9.
Yeah. Comes over being like 789-T-W-Q.
Yeah, yeah, my thumb is irreparably damaged from that. So I don't really even know. But they sent him a new flip phone.
Oh, cool.
I mean, so he's now, the technology he has now, it's like having a Motorola Razr. Which, if you remember, was the shit back in the day.
Oh, man.
I remember when I got my Motorola Razr, I was like, yeah, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
My mother has a flip phone.
Yeah, a lot of people do. My dad has a flip phone.
Her and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
You know why? Because they use the phone for calling Kareem. That's what they use it for. Ain't no need for all that other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Mom got a phone. I'm like, oh, really? Where's your phone? And she had to pull it out of her bosom.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because it was on a string?
It's a flip phone. Did
she have a cord around her neck that was in the phone was folded over?
No.
Okay, that's how my dad rolls.
Oh, man.
That's how my dad rolls, which is fine because he's always got it on him.
He always has it.
If he needs it.
Got it when you need it.
So let's go through this. Say, Jason, you were helpful to me this week. How was your week other than my message saying, hey, I need some information?
Oh.
Other than that.
How was my week?
Yeah, how was your week?
It was good. So it was my birthday last week, kind of, right? So
last Tuesday when we recorded.
So this week, this weekend, we went to Enchambered, which is another
escape room.
So it was myself, Alex, and Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a escape room called Containment. I think it was the Containment Room.
They did an escape room called the Devil's Triangle, Kareem.
Yeah. So it was designed for 8 people. It was like medium hard.
It's supposed to be 3 and 3, so it should have been for 9 people.
No, this one was... No, so it's supposed to be 8 people in this room. So I was literally typing in the code when the time ran out. So we didn't necessarily win, but we got to the very end, like, without a doubt, with just 3 of us. But I will say it was so immersive. There's like secret rooms, mm-hmm. like, which was like, it was really dope. Like the production value or production side of it was amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. So I did that. I went to, where did we have lunch? I went to South and had lunch there for like my birthday lunch. And
he's really appropriating the culture, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
What?
First you moved into the black neighborhood, then you're eating at the black restaurant.
I've been eating at South since they first got in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never tried their Nashville chicken, and it was really good.
The Nashville hot chicken.
Mm-hmm. And then what else? So that was pretty much... last night I had one of those moments where I felt really old. I made a date with my cousin to play Red Dead Redemption online.
Okay.
8 o'clock. You know, like, we're going to do this at 8 o'clock. So, I'm like, do all my chores.
Are you really old or really young?
Yeah, I know, right? So I wanted to make sure everything got done. And sat down, like, and he calls me at 7:30. He's like, "You ready to do this?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's get on." And I was like, "You already did the first part of it, right?" What is like an hour's worth of stuff that you have to go through at the beginning, which includes creating your character. And like, I was like, "You haven't done that yet?" No. And like, he knows better. He's a gamer. He knew that he should have done that already. So, anyhow, so about 8:40, I'm like starting to fall asleep as I'm playing through and just kind of like looking at things and not really playing or engaging with anyone.
Right.
So at 9, he's still not done. So I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm falling asleep. So I was in bed. I was like asleep by 9:30 last night. And then I woke up at 4:30 and couldn't go back to bed. So I'm fucking old, man.
Speaking of 4:30, Kareem, 4:30 a.m. Was your wake up time today, but Eastern.
Eastern, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I went to North Carolina for the weekend for my niece's graduation from college. Two twins, the Bass Knight twins, as I'm going to call them. They both graduated with degrees in psychology from Elizabeth City State.
Nice.
I got to go up to Virginia because I haven't been up there in 30 years.
It's for lovers, I hear.
It is. Mm-hmm. And old people.
Same thing.
And I went to hang out with my uncle, and I thought I would get to see more, go around and see a little bit more, but we went and had old folks dinner,
mm-hmm.
which means at 4 o'clock.
Sure.
At a buffet.
And then you're done.
And we're done. And we came back and he sat down in the couch and fell asleep.
Oh,
in his recliner and fell asleep. And, yeah, so that was the evening, but
that's why I need a recliner.
So
no, you don't need one, Nate. Like we'll never do the podcast again.
Well, not for the podcast.
Yeah.
I can't do the podcast from a recliner.
No, but the moment you sit in it, like you come home and sit in it at 7, you are done for the night.
Well, I have to have a job at some for that to be an issue, Jason. I've been here all day.
Oh, man. Okay, so we did that. And part of the reason why I did that was because it's 45 minutes from his house to the college, and it's an hour and a half from my folks' house. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was supposed to be there at 9 a.m., which would be 6 a.m. our time.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be somewhere I would be close enough to get there on time. And graduation was nice. It's a small college. They had to have faculty sit on one side of it to make it look like it was full.
Well, it's a December graduation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I graduated in December, too, and I didn't go. Because my first job out of college started the next morning. And I was like, do I want to drop $100 and some odd on a cap and gown to walk in front of a group of people that I don't know, because I knew no one who was graduating, and get an empty diploma holder? And I said, nope.
Yeah. That's funny.
But I completely get it, and the whole thing to have your moment if you got a lot of family there and that sort of thing. I remember my parents said, are you going to do that? And I said, no. No, I'm not.
Like, are you going to pay for it? Because I wasn't.
I mean, six to one, half a dozen to another. If I would have been graduating with a group of friends, like high school graduation was.
Yeah, or your parents expected it. If your parents were like, you know, or like some, like, it's one of those things, like, I don't think I would have done either if I would have graduated, because it would have, there's no reason for it. Like,
well, they were the first ones in the immediate family.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
well, that's the thing. You had the whole family there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got the whole family, you got a big family, exactly. And that's the thing. Yeah, absolutely. Because yeah. This is much for the family as it is for the people walking.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Because my sister and her husband were excited because they got them through.
And now they're not a problem anymore.
Exactly.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you made it back through all the stormy weathers.
Yeah. Oh, I woke up, was it Sunday morning, to a snowstorm? It wasn't too bad. It was more like the lady from Colorado said, oh, they said it was a snowstorm, and we said it's the slushies. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that bad. Well, where my folks live at wasn't that bad, but in Raleigh it turned out to be pretty bad. And actually in Greensboro it was really bad. I think they had like 12 inches.
Mm.
And for some reason the people in North Carolina haven't figured out that they should prepare for snow, even though they've been hit by snowstorms like every year for the last 5 to 10 years.
It's going to happen more and more with the climate shifting and changing.
Yeah.
You're going to get, that's why it's not really global warming.
Right.
It's just the climate change. So storms are going to be more severe. They're going to be a little different.
Yeah. So it's like you guys really need to prepare. You need to buy the equipment. I don't know what the fuck you're waiting on.
It's a lot of money. And, you know, when you're busy spending all your money on gerrymandering up districts, I mean, you don't have much left.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. When you're spending, like, government money.
Right. So what's going on?
You can't afford that stuff, dude. Come on. That would help people, not me.
It really would. I'm still figuring shit out.
Yeah. Good for you,
man. It's one of those things. I've decided that... I would figure shit out by doing what we really need more of. I have posted my first vlog.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say love. That's what we need more of.
Nope, vloggers. That's what we need more of. Vloggers on YouTube. So go ahead and search that out if you want.
Mm.
It's episode one, My Job Disappeared. That's what it's called. That just dropped Tuesday. Mm. So yesterday. But, you know, figured that would be a way to sort of go through it, talk through it, work through it, have a creative project that comes from it,
mm-hmm.
and put a little positive energy into it that is something different than the... I mean, it is. It's all part of what am I going to do with my life next? You know, what is my next job? What is my next opportunity going to be? And how do I go through all of that? So that's part of it. The first one's really more about just what happened. And we talked about it a little on the show here, but, mm-hmm. You know, that was it. We also went to see the movie Instant Family with Mark Wahlberg, where they adopt foster kids.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a nice romp.
It is. It will give you all of the feels.
Oh, okay.
All of the feels. You, I don't, unless you've got a heart of stone, you'll weep a little if you see the movie. You will smile. You will feel good. You'll feel bad. It makes you feel, which yeah. I get, you know, that's what art's about.
Yeah.
And, it does make you laugh. So there's that part of it too. But, we saw that. God, what else did we do? We went to Costco.
that's a trip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially during this time of year.
Well, here's the fun thing. When you have a situation where one person in the relationship has lost their job, and you start to look at everything and go, should we? I don't know. When are you going to have money coming in? I don't know. Yeah, because it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do about Christmas? I don't know. I had already gotten Leslie most of the gifts I was going to get her. So that was pretty much all done, thankfully, before this whole thing happened. And nothing was too outrageously expensive because, you know, we've got other things we want to spend our money on. But, I have this feeling that my Christmas is going to be a little quiet. Well, that's what you get for having your job eliminated.
It happens.
It does. It does. You know what? And of all of the problems that I could have, this really isn't that big of a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, putting it all into perspective, I had a buddy send me a message out of the blue about some of his health issues. And I'm not going to talk about him too much on the show here because, you know, it's a kind of a privacy issue. And I didn't ask him if it was okay or not. But, he is waiting to go into the hospital to hopefully be able to have two operations to fix the problems caused by his last operation.
Mm. Oh, snap.
Right? And I said, so when are you going in? He goes, well, as soon as they have an availability.
Mm.
So he didn't even know when he's going in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not going to complain about anything like that because... I mean, damn! Everything is on a sliding scale, and
yeah. So that's kind of like with me trying to get to the airport. Like my brother was like, you know, you can come stay at my house, and I was like, okay, let me figure out what's going on with the flight. But then after the lady told me that my flight would be at 5:30, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get a hotel room,
right?
Because when he's finishing up chemo, and yeah. I was like, I don't want you to be having to worry about getting me to the airport at 3:30 or 4:00 in the morning.
Right.
And you got to go to chemo after that. So I was like, yeah no, I told him, I was like, I texted him back. Like, yeah, I got a flight out.
Yeah. It's really interesting. My new mantra is, my life is not my job and my job is not my life.
Mm hmm.
Tis true.
Which is
true.
Good because I don't have a job,
right?
Other than this podcast, and that's again, shop Target. Do it more.
Do it now.
Go ahead, do it. Get yourself something nice. You've earned it. You really have. So, meanwhile, in Washington D.C., you know how Alex Jones is not on YouTube anymore because they pulled his sorry ass off.
Yeah.
Well, the CEO of Google was testifying today in front of Congress, and Alex Jones was out in the hall.
Evil! Google is 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 evil!
I like how he had to stop to cough.
Yeah.
He's like our little dog who gets so excited when he's barking that he has to stop and cough. This goes on.
Google is evil. Google is evil. Google is evil.
He's following a throng of reporters as the CEO of Google leaves the congressional hearing.
Just to make sure no, nobody else is going to get to ask a question either.
Here's the rub. The police told him to control himself, that he's in a public hallway, and that he'll be arrested if he continues to cause disruption.
Google is evil! Google is evil! Google is evil!
That's what he's come to. That's where we are.
And nobody, they didn't stop him?
No, other than telling him he might be arrested, no.
I wonder what would have happened if he was black.
He got his ass whooped.
Yeah. That's ridiculous, man.
Right.
Like, I should, like, what the fuck? Like, get him out of there. Get, like, he's not, he's just right. Oh, my God.
It's a public hallway, Jason. Relax. Man. Meanwhile, the Patriots had a rough ending to their game on Sunday.
Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling, oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the end! Go! Touchdown! Oh, can you drink? A miracle!
So for some reason, they put Rob Gronkowski out on the field to play defense.
They thought they were going to do a Hail Mary.
Yeah, well, allegedly. Here's what we learned. He can't tackle. He cannot tackle. Sorry about your Steelers, Kareem. They also lost.
Yes.
Rough weekend in Denver. Or in Oakland, sorry, not Denver. Denver had a rough weekend, too. Very rough weekend. All right, so Kareem wanted to talk about this. I really don't care one way or another, but just 48 hours after agreeing to host the Academy Awards, Kevin Hart unceremoniously stepped down last Thursday night on social media. The turn of events followed outcry over previous anti-gay tweets and comments made during a stand-up routine nearly 10 years ago. Some of the tweets were feverishly deleted throughout the day on Thursday, leading to an Instagram video from the comedian that only made matters worse for him. He said, my team calls me, oh my God, Kevin, everyone is upset by tweets you did years ago. Guys, I'm nearly 40 years old. If you don't believe that people can change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to hold people in a position where they always have to justify the past, do you? I'm the wrong guy, man. He's already apologized for these.
Yeah.
These came up before. When you said something about Kevin Hart, I'm like, what? And then it was like, oh, the whole thing, we've covered, this is covered ground, but okay. But every time you do something bigger and bigger and a group of people discover you that didn't know about you before, these things are going to come back. And, the interesting thing was Kevin Hart did not apologize. He refused to apologize. Which was interesting because later that day he tweets, I've made the choice to step down from hosting this year's Oscars. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many talented artists. I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words from the past. I'm sorry that I hurt people. I'm evolving and want to continue to do so. My goal is to bring people together, not tear us apart. Much love and appreciation to the Academy. I hope we can meet again. Which is weird, because if he would have done that to begin with, he could probably be hosting the Oscars.
No, because he didn't. No, he turned down the Oscars after they said that. So
Well, they asked him to apologize, and he said no.
Well, because so the other part of the clip was the YouTube clip he said the Oscar said, "Hey, Kev, you need to apologize,"
mm-hmm.
and he said, "I've already covered that. I'm good."
And they said, "No, you're not good."
Yeah. But he was good. That's the thing.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
I don't know that he was.
I
know you think he was.
No, he was good there. Because
when he apologized before, yes.
Yes. So you're not at the point where you're mad about the tweet. They're not mad about the tweets.
Right.
They're mad because he said, "I don't need you."
Is that what they're mad about, or are they?
That's what they're mad about now.
Okay.
Because he said, "Okay, I'm cool." They said you need to apologize. He's like, "I'm not doing that. I'm cool. You do you."
Well, and then
they said, "Oh no, Hollywood said after that, no nigga, you can't say that to us." That's what happened.
Okay.
They wanted him at a place where he was going to beg or bow down to them. That's what that was about.
All right. Jason, would you like to weigh in on this?
So the only thing that I would say in this situation, and I think it's shitty in any way, when you've apologized for something, and it comes back to, and it comes back after you already apologized. That's a shitty thing, and that's definitely endemic in our society right now. It's an issue. It's not a good thing necessarily. All right. At the same time, like if you make an apology or you say you're going to do something or grow with something, and you say you've grown, then I think you also have to show that you've grown and you've supported that.
No, you
some
don't.
Way.
No. You don't.
I think so.
You
I,
don't.
He
don't. No, no, no.
I
because,
mean, like,
wait. Because this is
he
the
said he would beat his kid if he came home gay. Pretty much, it's pretty much what he said. And like, you can say that's a joke.
And he said it 10 years ago.
You can say it's a joke, but that's a violent thing to say.
He said it 10 years ago.
It's a violent thing to say.
He said it 10 years ago.
Okay, so what's he done though to change that?
What is it? What did he need to do?
He said that he's grown and changed. How has he grown and changed?
So he apologized. Have you followed Kevin Hart at all?
No, not really.
Okay, so this is a thing for you and all of those other people that don't really follow Kevin Hart. And I'm not even a Kevin Hart fan, but I watch the stuff that he posts and the stuff that he does. So for you and the people who don't follow Kevin Hart and who have an opinion about something he said 8 years ago and haven't followed what he's done since then, y'all need to shut the fuck up because you don't know what you're talking about. This dude is probably the most positive comedian that you're going to find out there. This dude does nothing. He doesn't even, there are people that come at him about bullshit. And instead of him fighting with them and firing back at them all the time, he doesn't even do that. He usually tries to take the high road with it. This is a dude that when Tiffany Haddish, this is a dude that when Tiffany Haddish was living out of her car, made sure she had money to eat and get a place to stay. This is a dude who's doing everything that he can right now to put other comics on. All of his shows that are on Comedy Central, they're not about Kevin Hart. They're about putting other comics on. There's a ton of comics that are getting jobs or getting opportunities right now because of him. Now, he apologized to the LGBT community about what he said. He doesn't owe them anything else. He doesn't need to prove that I've changed.
Okay.
What he's done is he's done nothing but positive stuff over the last, at least I'm going to say the last 5 or 6 years, all I've seen him do is positive stuff. So, there's no, I need to do something
for
you.
How many of those comedians that he pushed forward, though, or that he helped, or that he did all this stuff for in the last 10 years, how many of those people were LGBTQ?
What does it matter?
I would say that if none of them, it matters just on a principle of,
what,
it matters.
No.
There
no,
should be a small percentage of those people that were, right?
But, I mean, why?
Okay, Kareem, let me flip something on you for a second. Let's say it's a white comedian who says terrible things about African Americans. And then he apologizes. And then he goes out and does all sorts of great things for other comedians. Hispanic comedians, white comedians, women comedians. Never anything about black comedians. Pretty much ignores the fact that they exist at all. And then says, I've grown and I've evolved and I've changed. Are you cutting them the same slack? Because the exact same thing happens, the exact same thing, because basically Kevin Hart has ignored the LGBTQ community. He apologized, he moved forward, and he ignored them. He didn't...
What did he owe them? That's the question is...
No, the question was...
So, wait. Okay, so the answer to that is this. As a black person, I wouldn't want anything from him.
Right, but
I wouldn't want anything from him. I wouldn't expect him to open any doors for me. Mm-hmm. I would be like, okay, I'm cool on you. On to the next thing. Sure. That's it.
Now
that's the answer to that question.
What if someone decided he was going to host Showtime at the Apollo?
Nobody would do that.
I don't know. You brought Kevin Hart in to host the Oscars,
because we wouldn't do that.
But that's not the point here. The point is, you would.
No, we wouldn't.
Of course you would.
No, we wouldn't.
So the idea,
I get what you were trying to say.
What I'm saying
But we
is,
wouldn't put him in that position. That's the deal.
That's what you say, but isn't BET owned by white people now?
And isn't BET smart? Have you seen any white people hosting any shows on BET?
I don't watch BET.
Exactly. No. BET is owned by white people, but they wouldn't bring a white, they wouldn't bring a white person in to host anything. The only white person who would get away with hosting anything would be, Gary Owens. That's it.
Here's the thing. This was an easy solve that turned into a bigger than it needed to be issue. Yeah. It really wasn't a solve.
You're right. It was an easy solve. He said, "I'm cool. I'm good. I don't have to. I'm gonna step away. I'm not gonna cause you any controversy."
Right. And I don't know anybody. Here's the thing. I don't care that Kevin Hart's not hosting the Oscars. I didn't care that he was.
Yeah.
It makes no difference in my life one way or another.
Exactly.
And I don't really even have strong feelings about what happened, other than when something comes up that you've apologized before. How hard is it to go, you know, I apologized for this a few years ago. I'm still sorry. I'm still sorry that that happened. I've grown. I didn't mean that in the way it happened. I've learned. I've grown. I'm different. And I'm sorry. That's it. And then they're done.
That's what he did.
That's what he did after he got all defiant and chesty. Because I'm not going to apologize. I don't need to apologize. He said that's covered ground.
No, yeah,
I'm
good.
That's covered ground.
Exactly.
I'm good.
But why did he need to apologize again?
He doesn't need
to. Why did he need to apologize again?
Only if you don't want this to blow up into something ridiculous
because
for no reason.
He said, I'm good. I don't need to do it.
And then it became a news story. As soon as that happened, as soon as he did that, it became a news story.
And again, why did he need to do anything other than what he did?
Because
the first
asshole dug something up and said something.
Because he needs to coddle the assholes.
No, it's because Kevin Hart has ascended to another stage.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart has gone from comic to guy in movies to movie star to guy they want to host the Oscars. And every time you move up the rungs, there's going to be people who had absolutely no reason to even pay attention to you who suddenly are going to pay attention
to you.
And
again. And? So
that's why it came up again, because Kevin Hart was not in these people's orbits at that point. And what really took it to the next level was after he stepped down and said, "I'm good." Then you had Nick Cannon of all people.
But it blew up before Nick Cannon had anything to do with it.
But Nick Cannon threw more gas on the fire. Nick Cannon threw gas on the fire because what's Nick Cannon up to? Hey, no one's mentioned Nick Cannon in quite a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw gas on the fire.
But again, what did he need to apologize for? After he's already apologized. So he's already moved past it. What is he? So
he's moved past it. But here's the thing, Kareem. What you're missing is when people have been hurt by something and you're the one who hurt them, the apology isn't over because you've moved past it. It's not over until the people who have been hurt by that move past it. That's what an apology is.
That's what an actual apology is.
That's not what an actual apology is. An apology is if I say that I'm sorry and I mean it sincerely, it's up to you whether you take it or not. After that, I'm good. I don't owe you anything other than the apology. I don't need to make up anything to you. I don't need to do anything else for you.
Right, but if you apologize for hitting me in the face, and then the next day you hit me in the face,
but he didn't. Wait! He didn't hit anybody else in the face again.
I'm not.
So he
never tweeted again about how he was going to beat his son if he came home gay. But there's not one LGBTQ comedian that he pushed forward in the last 10 years.
He didn't owe anybody to do that.
But that should. No, if you're working in Hollywood.
No. He didn't owe anybody.
I'm not even a stand-up. I'm not even a stand-up, and I know plenty of gay comedians, all right? All I got to say is if he had just pushed one gay comedian forward, they would have come out, and they would have said something and said, dude, he did say, if it wasn't because of Kevin Hart, I have a career now. But that has not happened. Nobody's come out from the comedian community that he's pushed forward. Like, to me, that shows something because they would have been the first ones to stand out if it was an issue.
That doesn't mean that he didn't grow.
He grew to know that he doesn't make jokes on Twitter about beating his son if he comes home gay. Like that's the lesson he's learned. I will not do that again. I'm sorry.
I can't say those homophobic things.
I can't say homophobic things on Twitter
anymore.
That's
still not the lesson. The lesson was and at that point in time, we didn't even have gay marriage wasn't even legal at that point.
10 years ago? 2000?
It wasn't. It didn't get legalized until 2000.
It was legalized in Hawaii. Yeah. I think maybe Massachusetts also.
There were a lot of people that were changing their mind about gay marriage and those things.
That's fine.
In that time period.
That's fine. But he obviously has an issue because he hasn't done anything with anybody that's gay.
He didn't need to do anything with anybody that's gay.
The fact that he didn't is the proof.
Why did he have to?
Because the fact that he would have is proof.
Why did he have to prove that?
He didn't have to prove it. It should have just happened.
No, it should have just happened. Why should it have just happened?
Because there's so many gay people out there in the community like that it should have just happened naturally, that you brush up against them and your friends, like, it just happens and they would stand up for you. And none of them have. Nobody has come forward and said anything that was, like, in any way positive about his link to that community and how he's helped them in any way.
How do you grow if you don't meet
and hang out with people that you have issues with?
Like, he didn't have issues with them.
He did. He was going to beat his son if they came home gay. He had issues with them. That's like me saying, if CJ comes home with a black boyfriend, I'm going to beat her ass because she should not come home with a black boyfriend. That's exactly what that's like saying, dude. And I don't care what you're going to, like, that's exactly what that's like saying.
And he said, I'm sorry, I moved, and he moved up.
But he
didn't owe them to do anything else. That's extortion. That's saying, oh, well, if you don't want...
If I made that comment in here, would you ever let me slide from that? If I made that comment about my daughter, would you ever let me slide from that comment?
Probably not.
All right. That's all I got to say. That community's not letting it slide. That community's not letting it slide. But I don't care. It doesn't affect me. I don't care.
You're right. Guess what? Look, and if I'm in that community, I don't want to fuck with him. Period. I don't want him to do something to make me feel better.
But
I don't want to fuck with him, period.
The only thing that's gayer than the Oscars is the Tonys.
He didn't ask. Look, he didn't ask to host the Oscars. They came to him.
True.
He didn't beg the Oscars. The Oscar came to him.
And
he said, okay, cool. This is something I always wanted to do. And then when they brought that up, he said, okay, I'm good. I don't want to cause you guys any problems. I'm going to step out. That should have been the end of it. When he said, I don't want to cause you any problems. I'm going to step out. That should have been the end of it. But what you wanted was you wanted him to bow down and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to do all this shit for you. Like, no, he doesn't owe him that. You sound like Don Lemon. Don Lemon was like, well, you know, Kev, reach out to me. We can do an interview. This can be a teachable moment. You can do, like, no. He said, I'm sorry. That's it. That's it. Fucking extortion. That means you want to use somebody else's fame to promote your thing.
Or you want to give Kevin Hart the opportunity to show that he's actually
who's the head of the Academy.
No, that's not what you wanted. That's not what you wanted. You wanted Kevin Hart. You wanted to use Kevin Hart to promote your deal. That's what that was.
They thought that he was funny and they wanted him to be.
They wanted somebody that would bring people to watch it because nobody's watching it.
And they probably thought that he would bring a sense of fun.
And he said, fuck you. I'm big. I don't need this shit.
But then he apologized afterwards.
Yeah, right. because his people kept. Kev, we need you to keep that money coming in, so we need you to apologize. That's what it was. And if you go back and you actually read the stuff that he actually said during the three videos that he made, it was nothing ever derogatory or I'm going to beat my chest about it. He said, I'm not feeding into the negativity. That's what he said. That was all it was about. It wasn't about I'm like fuck the LGBT community. It had nothing to do with them at that point. He'd already apologized. He apologized in the first video he put out. And what he said was, I'm not feeding into the negativity of all you people that keep bringing up past shit to try to keep negativity going. That was his whole point. That was his whole point, was I'm not getting involved in the negativity because I have moved past that. I'm at a place where I'm trying to do nothing but positive things, and I'm not trying to get back into this negative bullshit. That was his whole purpose of what he was doing. But somebody turned that into, he's not going to apologize for what he said. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying, I've already apologized. I'm not getting into the negativity of all these people that like to keep bringing up stuff about people from their past to try to keep pulling them back into the negative shit that they were into way back when. That was his whole point.
He needs a moment with Michelle Obama.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
No.
He does. He does. He needs to learn to rise above.
Yeah. That's what he did. That's what he was trying to do.
Well,
that's totally what he was trying to do.
He clearly has failed.
No.
He clearly failed until he actually just apologized.
And those people aren't even going to accept the apology because they didn't really want that. The apology wasn't what they wanted. The apology, what they wanted was him to bow down. And then he went to Australia and set the record for the largest crowd in history.
Look, I don't know that Australia is the beacon of understanding and inclusivity that you want, but I think we can all agree that we don't care if Kevin Hart hosts the Oscars.
No, I'm not even. Look, and I'm back to fuck the Oscars. I'm not watching them.
Yeah, I don't care. Meanwhile, two longtime nuns, they're in a little bit of trouble with the law for, gambling. But not just gambling.
This is a large three-topping pizza from Domino's.
They ordered Domino's pizza, and it was really rough. No.
Well, you know, it was Lent. it was Friday.
Ooh, the meat lovers, yeah.
They got that meat lovers meat on lovers. Friday.
Two California nuns allegedly embezzled $500,000 in tuition fees and donations in a scheme that went on for at least 10 years. Officials and parents told the Long Beach Press-Telegram they might have spent some of that money on trips and gambling at casinos. All the while, Sister Mary Margaret Krupper and Sister Lena Lang allegedly told parents the school, St. James Catholic School in Torrance, was operating on a shoestring budget. They both retired earlier this year. The archdiocese and the church are not pursuing criminal charges, according to the report. The nuns said they were sorry. Not yours.
Okay, Corinne, is their apology enough? Do you accept their apology?
They got to get back the money.
Look, they've retired. They don't have it. They feel really bad.
They didn't have any money in the first place.
It went back 10 years. They feel really bad. And they're done.
Oh, man.
And it's true. The school was operating on a shoestring budget because they were going to Vegas to gamble. It's very strange.
Oh, my gosh. You mean there's no USSR? Wait, what's Yugoslavia?
Jugoslavia. All right. It's time for our semi-regular segment called Black in America. I did not put Kevin Hart in that, as he has transcended being black into being rich, y'all.
No, that was their reminder that you're still black. That's what that was.
Well, and homophobic. White people are great if you haven't heard. And if you haven't heard, this gentleman.
We built the modern world. We built the modern world. Who? Europeans.
Europeans.
Built the modern world.
Europeans.
We invented science and industry. We invented science and industry. And you want to tell us to stop because, oh my God, we're so bad. We invented the modern world.
I feel you. You're so dumb.
We invented the modern world.
You fucking degenerate.
We saved billions of people from starvation.
Who?
We built modern civilization. The white people are the best thing that ever happened to the world.
Whoa.
We are so amazing. I love myself. And I love white people.
Say that one more
fuck
time.
Fuck you, white people.
Say it right here.
Fuck you, white men.
So.
Oh, man.
A little context. This came out on Twitter. A Columbia University student, so this guy is Ivy League smart, whatever that means, approached a group of students of color on campus, and that's what he was yelling. That's what he was yelling. Columbia University, Ivy League smart.
We're white men! We did everything! I don't hate other people, I just love my white men!
God.
He just loves white men, Kareem.
He's one of those guys that going to shoot up a bunch of white women because they ain't giving him no pussy.
Yeah. Here's what
he's an incel. That's what he is.
No. I think he's a closeted homosexual is what I think.
Oh, yeah?
He loves white men, Jason.
Yeah, right.
He's got a preference.
He's an incel.
He loves everybody. He just loves white people, too.
I don't know what would possess anybody to just randomly go and, just for a moment, Jason, imagine you are at school and one African-American gentleman runs up to you and starts yelling this, except it's, I love black people. Now they were not having it. Yeah. They kept going, you say that, because they want to get it on camera. That's the whole thing now.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to get it on camera. Back in the day, before camera, he would have just gotten his ass beat.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
I would have tried to calm the guy down. Yeah, I love black people too, man.
First of all, and I love how at the end he goes, look, I don't hate other people. Yeah. I just really love white people. So I'm like, well, did I judge him too harshly to begin with?
Yeah.
And then I thought, no, he's an obnoxious dick first.
Yeah, he's obnoxious.
You know, color matters not. He's an obnoxious dick. And by the way, Ivy League smart. That's right. He got into and is attending an Ivy League institution of higher learning. Meanwhile, in Tennessee, the headline is Nursing While Black. And not nursing as in I have a baby. A Tennessee nurse says a sheriff's deputy racially profiled her as suspicious after she went into a white woman's home to care for her. Stephanie Dash works as a home health nurse, and a Williamson County sheriff's deputy questioned her after she went to a patient's home last week in Franklin, Tennessee. The deputy peeked through a window after she arrived, and the patient asked Dash, who is black, to answer the door to speak with her. The patient told her, I was a home health nurse, but the deputy told my patient that they got a call about a suspicious person in the area, and then I showed her my nursing bag. The deputy, whom she identified as Rhonda Casillas, wasn't convinced, so Dash walked the deputy to her car to show her an identification bag from the home health office in Nashville. My patient again confirmed that I was supposed to be there. I had nursing equipment in my work bag and my company logo on it. I had on scrubs and everything, stethoscope hanging from my neck. Still, she was not convinced. Dash then had to call her supervisor to verify that she was an employee, but the deputy again questioned the patient and stayed at the home until the nurse left. The segment is called Black in America. It's 2018. And finally, in Black in America.
Wait.
Yes, Kareem.
So, I just came back from North Carolina. I have several friends and family members who actually do this shit for a living.
Right.
So the idea that some idiot.
Deputy idiot.
Idiot one who called the police because a nurse went to the patient's house.
That somebody's suspicious in the neighborhood.
And idiot dumb. She's not even idiot. She's a dumbass deputy.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if she kills this lady for doing her, you know, for just being, doing her job?
Well, I get that you want to be cautious. You get a report. You come up, you go, hey, what's going on? And you go, the woman in the home goes, that's my nurse. And then she goes, I'm her nurse. Let me go show you my bag with all my gear in it and my badge. At that point, it's pretty much done.
Yeah.
Or should be.
It should be. Like, what the fuck are you, like, why are you still here? And that's probably the attitude she was probably starting to get. Like, okay, I didn't show you everything. She's done told you I'm supposed to be here. You didn't talk to my supervisor. What the fuck are you still doing here?
Just hanging out until you're leaving.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And finally, in This Week in Black America, Leonard Fournette threatened to beat a heckler's ass during the game. I have the audio, but it's not really good. Leonard Fournette is a running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Apparently, the heckler had been shouting racial slurs at Leonard Fournette the whole game, and that's why he reacted the way he did. The reporters really tried to press head coach Doug Marrone on the claim, and he finally just said, "Look, I trust the player. That's what happened." Why in 2018 do people think it's okay to yell racial slurs at players or anyone?
It's a weird thing with people in the stands that think that because they paid their money, and usually drunk white people, they could say or do whatever.
Yeah, drunk white people are stupid.
And you always want the play. And the weird thing is you want the players to be above it. That's always the, oh, well, you have to be above that. You can't. Like, no, you deserve what you get.
Maybe after the 20th time somebody calls you the N-word, I'm sure it's...
maybe if you let somebody whoop somebody's ass a couple of times and somebody sees it, they'll stop doing it.
They should just have security guards that do that. Like,
or yeah. And I'm like, where the fuck was the stadium security that they let the dude stay there?
Well, that's the bigger question, because instead of yelling, "I'm going to beat your ass," really what he should have done is flag down somebody from the team, go, "Hey, this dude's yelling the N-word at me," and then get a security guard over to run
out. And somebody else, somebody else should have did that.
They should have known.
Yeah, they should have known. Yeah.
Like, they better, like, that's one of those things that should, no, this is not a free speech environment.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't really qualify as free speech.
Right, well, I'm sure that they'll try to say it is.
Well, I don't believe that applies when you're actually in the,
No, you're in the stadium, if they hear you, they kick your ass out.
They kick your ass out, and they should be. So they're just as complicit.
All right, we have our first Grinch of the season, too.
Uh-oh.
In South Carolina, a Somerville man is charged with arson after police said he burned down the Christmas decoration at a suburban Charleston neighborhood. That's according to a report by WCSC. They arrested Cameron Lewis Bond, who's 29, after...
"The room is fully involved. No one can survive this fire. It's unattainable."
I don't know what this video is. Get out of here, you.
It's unobtainable.
It's unobtainable. they got a call on a Friday afternoon about a person setting fire to the property of multiple neighbors in a community in Somerville. Police say that Bond lit up a snowman decoration that was in the front yard of a home. He was detained for burning Christmas decor at another home when the officers arrived. Fire rescue was also attempting to put out a house fire that he allegedly set. So
He looks like an actor, and I can't think of the guy's name.
Who is this?
I'm not. Either way, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Oh, there he is. He looks like. Oh! I know what you're saying. He looks like. God. It's a combination of Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day and one of the kids from, like, a Sandlot movie.
Yeah, that's
like
who it is.
Sandlot.
Yeah.
He looks like the kid from the Sandlot.
He does. He hates Christmas. He hates it. Hates it with a passion.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there is apparently a serial Baskin-Robbins robber headed around the Seattle area, except he picked the wrong one to try and rob because one of the clerks there fought back. Oh, and he actually knows martial arts. So it proved to be a really kind of a big mistake.
Caught on camera, a Seattle ice cream worker put the freeze on an armed man who tried to violently rob the place. The big twist, this unfolded when the robber made a critical mistake. Cairo 7's Jessica Oh is live in Seattle. And Jessica, police are still looking for the suspect, who they say is a serial robber.
Steve, police say he terrorized employees at another Baskin-Robbins location about a month before he hit this one on Rainier Avenue. This time he pulled a knife on an employee who told us tonight why she's grateful she wasn't working alone that night. That's Leslie behind the counter. Everything's fine until she walks up to help that customer.
He grabs me by the apron and then holds the knife to me and says, "Open the register, give me all the money in it."
Her coworker John calmly opens the register while the suspect holds on to Leslie's apron. That's when he makes a big mistake.
As soon as my coworker opens the register, he drops his knife and lunges for the money.
John doesn't hesitate to grab that knife. Now the tables have turned.
I was standing on the side watching them fight because I was just like, oh my God, this is happening.
John and the suspect go at it, but the thief no longer has a weapon. It looks like he's giving up.
He walks away like he's gonna leave, and then he comes back running, trying to jump over the counter.
A bad move, according to police, because John happens to be trained in martial arts.
Oh my God, you punched him in the face. Oh my God, you kicked him so many times. He was in holding him, so he got some good kicks on him.
It's the second Baskin-Robbins. Seattle police say the same man violently tried to rob in less than 1 month. This time, employees weren't having it.
Yeah, I think he was surprised because he wasn't really fighting back. He was kind of just taking it.
Leslie doesn't know what would have happened if John wasn't there to fight off that robber with his own weapon. She says her coworker is a hero.
He definitely is. I was so thankful.
John had the knife, too.
Yeah.
If you're the robber, once the other guy gets the knife, just leave.
Exactly.
Just leave. He's like, I'm going to leave, and then he goes back to, like, jump over the counter. I'm not leaving without my knife. Yeah, you are. Yeah, he punched him in the face and he kicked him multiple times. It was a good old fashioned beatdown.
Oh man, hey, that's pretty funny. Like,
well, as funny as armed robbery gets, I guess.
He probably thought he was like, man, I've got the best plan, everyone. I'm just gonna rob Baskin Robbins. It's just gonna be kids, like, serving ice cream. They're just gonna give me the money. I can do it with the knife. It's gonna be easy. And there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is, like, that might be true, but I've met some of the dudes, like, you meet some of the guys that work at Baskin Robbins, and they're not thick. They knew what they were doing when they got the job.
Right.
It's usually like a football player from the football team, and it's all girls that work there.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy's going to have to use his martial arts skill to fight off the poon. That's what he's going to have to do.
Oh, man. Good for him.
Meanwhile, in Ohio, I'll let the news people explain it.
An Ohio woman is now facing charges for throwing a baby during an argument over Amazon purchases.
Youngstown police say Erin Johnson was holding the baby during the argument. Police say she threw the baby twice in frustration. She is now being charged with child endangering. The baby was taken to a local hospital, but that baby's condition not known at this time.
Don't throw the baby. And by the way, I hope you bought those Amazon packages through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
But don't throw the baby.
Don't throw the baby. Oh, Twice she threw the baby. Not like, once, but twice.
That's one of those things that...
She was a grandma at 32.
I don't know. The text on that story is really confusing because there's multiple people in there. So I don't know if that was actually the grandma, but all right. So let's wrap this show up here. We're getting near the end, and we got some stuff to talk about.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right, it's time for Speak Out from the Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York. And by the way, if you're not watching the Showtime limited series Escape at Dannemora, you really should.
Mm.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I better get. I'm waiting until the holidays to use my 2-week subscription so I can just binge a bunch of shows real quick, get caught up on Ray Donovan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Cheap fucker.
Yeah. All right, listen, I'm saving for another baby, dude.
It's true. Hey, until every counselor who voted for those ridiculous rusting dead tourist kiosks that didn't last a year but cost city taxpayers many thousands is held personally responsible and pay for them out of their own salary, I will not pay attention to one word they say on the budget. Okay.
Have you seen them?
No.
I want to see what they look like now.
Apparently they're rusty. I don't know the rest of it. Democrats? Republicans? I couldn't care less. Really? You couldn't? A vote for whoever is going to give away my hard-earned money and who will protect the USA. If you don't like that, tell someone who cares. Vote smart, not popular. They use the question mark after that. If you don't like that, shop locally. Are you kidding? My husband and I went to seven stores today to find a simple Christmas decorating item to no avail, other than to be treated like we were aliens asking to be taken to their leader. Came home and shopped online in 5 minutes. That's right. That's why you hit the Shop Target tab at NateDarlingShow.com or the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Why be treated like an alien? Shop at home in your underwear and support the show. Hey, just wondering how restaurants can have an open fire. Does that mean I can too?
It's probably a propane fire, bro.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. If you have a permit, would you like to pay for a permit? Then yes. Yes, you can also have a fire. That's kind of how it goes. Hold on. Let me start this at the beginning. Started it too far in. There we go.
How dare you play this.
It's long overdue that politicians in Vermont and New York address a bridge to cross New York to Vermont at Grand Isle. This employs hundreds, safer for EMS, and will progress business between states. There's a ferry and a bridge on the southern part of the lake. Why not at Grand Isle? That's hyper-local. By the way, this just in, both the Canadian Broadcasting Company in Canada and the radio stations in the Bay Area have reversed their decisions on this very song. And they are going to start playing Baby It's Cold Outside because people were really, really upset.
Were people really upset?
Oh my God.
Really upset?
Some people were really upset. Here's what I say. If you hadn't announced that you weren't going to play it and just didn't play it, no one would have noticed.
Nobody would have cared.
Absolutely not. I don't know that many people that are clamoring for this fucking song.
Yeah, you know what it is? Is people want, they wanted to get all those, like, hey, listen, you can listen to us because we're not going to play this song. Like, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to capitalize
look,
on.
They wanted to be the Me Too, whatever, and all of this. It's like, oh, hey, we're not going to play this. And then the one thing that people in America will fight for more than anything else is whatever you tell them that they can't have anymore.
Well, I've seen a bunch of posts about it, and I've seen 5 people say that it should be taken out of the 500 people I've seen. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you?
Nobody cares about this song.
No.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it was all this thing for publicity, and now it's like, yay, we won, because again, as Americans, if I tell you you can't have something, that's what you want more than anything else in the world.
Yeah, but it is a song that people like during Christmas. They didn't listen to it like all year round, but it is a Christmas song that a lot of people like.
The thing is that people don't understand is like in the context of what the song is, you know, like it really is about a different time, like where this was not acceptable.
No.
The context of the song is she's playing coy and he's trying to get some.
Yeah, that's not acceptable.
Well, if that's not acceptable, none of us would be here.
That was not acceptable back, like back then. It was not acceptable for a woman just to stay at a guy's house.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a song about flirting.
It's about flirting.
Flirting, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's people don't understand, like, that's the thing.
It's a bunch of dumbasses trying to be, I don't know what the fuck they're trying to be.
It's a bunch of permit patties.
Look, it's a bunch of radio programmers who thought that they were going to get one over on everybody. Be like, look how great we are.
Yeah.
Here's what I know. You're a radio programmer. You're terrible.
They were they were fake supporters.
It's true.
I'm going to be your ally.
Yeah.
Lots of complaints. Of course, people started to complain about this song too.
Slip the sable under the tree for me.
Why is she being allowed to get all flirty with Santa then?
Yes.
Because who is Santa? Oh my gosh.
Exactly. That was the whole point. It was ridiculous.
It's like, come on. Santa is the dad. Like, that's... Like, I saw Mama kissing Santa on his... It's dad. Like, that, don't you... Under, like, that's like... These aren't necessarily kids... These weren't kids' songs. These were These were songs that people listened to on the radio when the kids went, like, Edge is ridiculous.
Spoiler alert, kids, there's no Santa. Thanks, Jason.
You're a Santa.
Tell CJ.
She doesn't listen to the show, does she?
She does. She listens. She actually wakes up in the morning and says, Nate, Nate. It's like, oh, she wants to listen to Nate Darling show again.
Why is Kareem so angry, she says.
I said, he's a black man.
It's just how they are.
It's just how they are. They're angry all the time. For good reason. For good reason.
Yeah, you know, they used to live in this whole neighborhood used to be nothing.
For about 40 years.
Right, and then we moved in. It's a good time. You know why we moved in? Because we were having you. You're the reason why we gentrified. Yes, you are.
No.
You're the cutest little gentrifier. Yes, you are. Who's daddy's little gentrifier? Jason's trying really hard not to laugh for a second. He's like, I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be mad. Nah, it's funny. All right.
I have very specific, like, very, like, there's certain people that are gentrifiers more so than others.
Of course.
And the big problem, next door, I this woman that lives in Central Oak Park posted that she was renting a place for $2,200. That her and her husband had saved hard for 5 years, like bought the home 5 years ago and saved and stuff like that. But they couldn't live in the area anymore, and they needed to rent it out now. Uh-huh. And they can't even afford utilities on the place. And I was like, now she wants somebody to rent it for $2,200 for a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Uh-huh. That's fucking ridiculous in Central Oak Park. That's a ridiculous amount. It's not anywhere near what should, like, anyhow, like. Those are the gentrifiers. Those are the people that are the fucking assholes. Those are the jerks, because what they did is there's no way that they bought that house 5 years ago and they have a house payment that's $2,200. It just does not work out that way. The only way they have a $2,200 house payment is if they took a second out on it and bought a new home, which is what they did. They took their equity out and they fucking fucked shit up. Because, those are the fucking people. And then the other developer, there's so many people that are fucking contributing to, anyhow. While we might contribute a little bit, we're planning on raising a family there, and that was our intention. We're not trying to profit off the neighborhood.
Oh, before we go, calls for lesbian comic Wanda Sykes to host the Oscars after Kevin Hart exits.
Nobody wants to host the Oscars. Here's who should host the Oscars every year. What network is it on? Who's your late night host? That's your Oscar host.
Oscar host.
Done and done.
Yesterday they've been begging Eddie Murphy to do it.
Eddie Murphy's not going to do that shit.
No, he is not.
He would do his stand-up special before he did that.
True. Very true. All right, that's going to do it for us. Back on Friday with another new show. Kareem's probably going home and going to bed.
I'm going home and going to bed.
So Kareem will not be joining us for Friday's show. He still wants you to shop the
Amazon and Target.
Yep, at NateDarlingShow.com. Have a great one. We'll see you next time.